and I still have that fire to say that it's a hobby. Nice. And I have been lucky enough to get this as my job, even though I don't really look at it as a job.
Layers, the unintentional culture of snowboarding by Nitro Snowboards. For our new movie, Layers, we interviewed important people and personalities that contribute to the global community of snowboarding. And since most of these interviews were too long to show in the documentary, and they were so interesting, we created this podcast so you can enjoy them in full length. So strap in and let's go. Let's start the episode with everybody's favorite snowboarder, Marcus Cleveland.
Yeah, how was your year? How was your season?
Season's been amazing. Started off in Copper with the Big Air, went super well. And then Locks Open went super well. And then X Games, such a stressful, fun week, but it also went super well. And then got to have some time in between just to go back home and ride and try to have some fun. And then we had the World Champs, which was definitely a bit of a different experience. But we made it happen, and that went super well, minus the Big Air part. Yeah, we had a couple more contests after that, which didn't go that well. But yeah, I'm excited to use the time now and ride some Spring Park and have fun.
How many contests did you do this year? How many did you enter, and what's the winning percentage? How many did you win? How many did you enter?
I did 9 contests, and I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 6 medals.
6 gold medals? Winning medals?
5 gold medals and 1 silver.
You happy about that?
Really happy about that.
Have you won everything you need to win in snowboarding?
No, I have not won everything that I need to win in snowboarding. I still missed that one, the Olympics.
Su Yiming stole it from you, huh?
God damn it. The next Olympics is going to be in Italy.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a 50-meter superpipe in the slope course, which is going to be hella interesting, but yeah, that's the last kind of piece of metal that I'm not owning.
You want it?
I want it.
What happens if you don't get it? How are you going to feel?
Then I'm going to disappear.
You're going to stop snowboarding?
Yeah. Stop snowboarding.
No, you're not.
No. I mean, it's not the end of the world. But it's definitely a milestone that you want to be able to put on your wall back home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you set out like a list of accomplishments that you want to do in snowboarding?
No, I haven't really set up anything for the future or for anything in my snowboarding. I just kind of like take day by day, have fun. Yeah, just try to be creative. And I mean, I love snowboarding. I want to snowboard every single day. And whenever it's a spring day where it's slushy and sunny, it's like you just fall in love with snowboarding all over again and just, yeah, that's all I want to do.
Why? What is it about contests? What attracts you to the competitive side of snowboarding?
I think what attracts me to the competitive side of snowboarding is just I like the feeling of pressure. I like the feeling of nerves. I like the feeling of adrenaline. And also to be able to like land a slopestyle run that's capable of getting on the podium. And whenever that happens, I just feel like a new boost that wants to keep going. And this season has been, going really well. And it, gets me the fire to keep on going for the next season, and we'll see, and just sick.
Do you also like the just being able to ride with the same people, kind of meet up with the same people?
Yeah, for sure.
At the contest?
It's sick to like ride with the same people. And also I travel a lot with the national snowboard team, mm-hmm. and we're such a connected group, so it's always a good time to travel with them. Makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. Because you normally, you're at home in Dumbos riding by yourself.
Yeah.
Do you think it, like, keeps you motivated to have this, like, team to go ride with every once in a while to get this feeling of, like, being a part of this team? You're not just by yourself.
Yeah. It's like whenever I'm home now, usually ride by myself. Mm-hmm. But it's just because all my friends, they have work. They've moved out of Dumbos, and I'm basically, like, the only one that likes to ride now.
Mm-hmm. Or has time to ride.
But, yeah, I just kind of set myself some different goals or different challenges throughout the day, even if I ride by myself.
Yeah.
But when I then go on trips just to, like, different parks with different crews and stuff, it's just inspiring to, yeah, ride with the different people, and, yeah, we can push each other still.
Is it scary to push yourself? You had this... a super bad crash, like 5 years ago? How long ago was this?
5 years.
Did you think ever after you had this crash with your knee, did you ever think about, like, okay, what happens if my snowboarding thing is over now? What am I going to do?
Yeah, it definitely crossed my mind if my knee was never going to be the same. It definitely crossed my mind because it was pretty unsure because the knee was pretty freaking destroyed, bombed. But it all turned out pretty good, I gotta say. But at the same time, when I was trying to get back into snowboarding, it was difficult to, like, trust your knee, the body, the head. Mm-hmm. Yeah, never really felt that way before. So it was definitely a new feeling. Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, it matured me in some type of way. Now I kind of think more of the consequences of the tricks, and I feel like I'm older and better decisions, I guess. But yeah, I'm hella scared all the time, to be honest. But I'm
Because of that?
Yeah, no, not necessarily because of the crash either. Just because I'm older, and yeah, probably because, yeah, that happened, of course. Mm-hmm. Always scared, but you gotta handle it some way. And I feel like I'm pretty good at handling the scary part.
Super good at handling the scary part. You're super, I mean, you can see it in your writing, no fear. It looks like.
It is fear.
There is fear.
But controlled fear.
So, like, yesterday, or 2 days ago, when you're here, you're riding, you hit the jumps once, and then you go again, and you do, like, a backside 16 second run through the jumps. Is that controlled fear, or were you just like, yeah, whatever?
That's kind of like a different fear. Because, like, the whenever, like, the park was really good, it was slushy and soft and nice, and the conditions were pretty much perfect, then it's more fun to, like, chuck triples or to, yeah, pretty much send it. I mean, yeah, I'm scared, but it's not really the same type of fear than to go into an icy park and send it.
Yeah.
Like, this was more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have fear about... what you're going to have to be able to do in 3 years in the slopestyle course at the next Olympics?
Yes. I fear that all the time. You've seen, like, the level of snowboarding nowadays is pretty crazy, and that has to do with the big airbags. Mm-hmm. A lot of people use the airbags nowadays, and I gotta admit, I'm doing the same because I need to keep up with all the people. I like to ride airbags, but not to necessarily try and progress the snowboarding. I just like to fuck around on it. Just do, like, the most weird tricks. But I feel like that's also kind of a nice way to approach the snowboarding, just to not think about how many spins you can get in, but more the more creative side of snowboarding. And that's kind of like where I learned the nollie, double and triple.
Did you do that intentionally? Like, you were thinking, like, I want to create a trick that's not, like, just more added spins. I want to make something that is different.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it started off with the double shukahara.
Yep.
Yeah, just, like, straight double shukahara.
Dolly.
Yeah.
Nollie double chicane.
Yeah, nollie double chicane. And then just added the grab, and it felt pretty nice. But the nollie triple thing, that's the most scary trick that I've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense. You basically are going full speed at a jump, and then you catch your toe side front nose edge, and then you go triple front flip with a lot of spins in it.
Yeah.
How do you even know where you are in the air? And do you get like, when you're like stuck in the spin, when you're just like stuck in this rotation?
Yeah.
With that, it feels like you would just get popped off and then stuck in that rotation. Does that happen, or are you pretty controlled?
No, I feel like it's pretty controlled. It's all in the muscle memory.
Yeah.
Like, I've jumped a lot of trampoline back when I was younger, and I just feel like I have I have a pretty good sense of where I am.
Yep.
in the rotation. So I never really lose out of my rotation. Like, I never really feel like I'm uncontrolled.
Yep.
I'm just always trying to get it to my feet.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Even though it doesn't really feel like it sometimes.
But the airbag thing is fun. It's not funny, because if you had an airbag when you were younger growing up in Dumbos, you'd probably ride that every day.
Probably.
As a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah. It is fearless. You can do anything without... I mean, I've heard people hurting themselves pretty bad on an airbag. So it's not 100% safe.
Yeah.
But it is 95% safe.
So, and safer than on a big jump.
So you gotta... Yeah, you're just out there chucking.
You are at home a lot... Riding by yourself, chucking by yourself.
Yeah.
And then you go to, let's say, X Games, where there's a lot of people there, there's lights, there's all this pressure, there's tons of people watching you on TV, kind of live. How do you go from being by yourself, no one watching you, to being like fully in the spotlight, everyone expecting you to do well? Is there a huge difference of pressure?
No, I don't really necessarily feel the pressure that other people expects. Uh-huh. It's more the pressure that I put on myself, because like I know that I have the tricks to do well. Yeah, I know that I'm capable of doing it. It's just a matter of fact that you have to put it down whenever it matters. I feel like the more pressure that I put on myself, the better I ride, because like I never really land my first runs, mm-hmm. especially in slope styles, and then we have two runs. Mm-hmm. So the last run I'm like, okay, now I need to land. Mm-hmm. And that's usually when I perform the best.
How do you, you must have bad days, like where nothing works.
Yeah.
And how do you get out of that, like, funk? Or why do you think that happens, those bad days?
I just think, like, we snowboard so often that everybody has bad days. You can't really dig yourself down whenever you have a bad day. Like, it's normal.
Yeah.
So I just... Yeah, put the snowboard away, go inside, either play FIFA if I'm on trips, or play Call of Duty when I'm back home, mm-hmm. or ride a Formula One simulator, mm-hmm. just have fun, and then go back out and try the next day.
That's right. So you basically just like fully remove yourself from snowboarding for a little bit.
I mean, it's like there's so many other days that you can try to snowboard, so no point of fucking yourself up on that day.
Yeah. Well, what's like a regular day in Dumbos for you?
Regular day, wake up, make some breakfast, probably like around 9, 10, 11, 12, around that time.
Yeah.
It all depends. But wake up, breakfast, probably game a little bit before heading up to the mountain.
Like 30 minutes or like 2.5 hours?
No, like 1 hour, 1.5, 2. And then head up the mountain, shred to like 4.
On the phone every time in between training? You are, right?
No, just like switching music.
Oh, okay.
A little bit on the phone as well.
Yeah.
From 1 to 4, ride, and then back home, eat dinner, and just game for the rest of the day. Or ride cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like a perfect day?
Yeah.
If it's sunny?
Love it.
That's sick. By yourself?
Yeah.
Or preferably with friends at the mountain.
Preferably with friends. Yeah. But it works to do it alone as well.
Do you ever learn new tricks when you're riding by yourself?
Yeah. I learn especially rail tricks. Riding rails alone is pretty fun. Or even just to ride, like, the whole mountain by yourself is fun. Just put both AirPods in, put on some music, and you're all fired up. I mean, it's not often that you learn new tricks, but sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember really well, like, when COVID hit, and I came back from a trip I was in quarantine, and I got to open the mountain. I had a night session by myself, and every night for 2 weeks, I had to do all 4 double Kirk 10s, just riding alone by myself.
At nighttime?
At nighttime.
Minus 15 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, yeah, did all 4 double Kirk 10s, just like a thing that I had to do. And got better at it, yeah.
Were you ever scared when you were doing it? You're there by yourself?
Yeah, I was kind of scared sometimes because, like, the landing was pretty icy.
Yeah.
So, like, the jump wasn't that big, but it still hurts if you fall.
Yeah.
So.
What would you do if you fell and, like, broke, like, got hurt? Is there anyone else there?
No.
So you just have the AirPods in and be like, Papa?
Just lay there, just unconscious. Blasting music to your ear.
Did you think about that ever?
No, not really.
probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, true. But it usually works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick. It's pretty badass. What do you expect next in, like, the progression of snowboarding in the competitive trick space?
That's like a hard question.
But you're, like, the closest to it. You know what people are kind of going to do. Like, what do you expect? Let's say Sui Ming, what's he going to be doing next?
I don't know. I feel like he's probably going to do the pretty much the same.
Tricks.
Yeah. He's not been riding any contests this year.
Yeah.
I feel like he's just been home in Tiger Ridge and practicing.
Yep.
He's such a good rider as well. So I guess, like, next year, if he's gonna come out and compete, he's gonna be a crazy guy.
Yeah.
Definitely needs to, yeah, I need to work on something new, I guess. But I don't know how the progression of snowboarding will look like in the next couple of years. I just know there's gonna be a lot of spinning for sure. And I'm gonna try to not be spinning as much.
Steer it in a different direction.
Yeah. More butters. More nollies. And not so many 18 or 19s.
Mm-hmm.
At least I'll try.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because there's so much spinning. And I can't really blame anybody because I did a quad quirk as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really to blame anybody. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But now it's like, there's so much spinning. People just doesn't really see the difference between a 14 and an 18 or a 19.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for, like, normal people to watch snowboarding. Yeah, it just needs some type of change.
Do you think it need, like, to keep it so people are still stay interested in snowboarding?
It would be sick to, like, back in the days when Aaron Style had head-to-head.
Yep.
It would be sick to just have some type of head-to-head comps as well. Or, yeah, try to switch up the format mm-hmm. of the contest, or yeah, I know they're working on something.
Do you feel like you're kind of not responsible, but kind of you're in the driver's seat of steering this progression?
Not necessarily, but I just know that if somebody does something different, other people will try to follow. And if the judges, like, likes what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and if it's different, then other people will definitely follow that track.
Yeah.
So
the judges are, do you think kind of maybe the judges are actually steering a lot more?
Judges are steering everything. They're the ones to put a score on your trick.
That's true.
Even though you're doing the sickest whatever, they'll always score spins higher, feel like.
Yeah, because it's easier to count.
Yeah. So you just gotta, I don't know, do something really weird, fucked up stuff for them to like it.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah, for sure. I think of Sven, for example. He does the triple backstay rodeo.
Yeah.
For me, probably the hardest trick in snowboarding.
100%.
And he doesn't get any kind of love really for it.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily for everyone else, you don't have to do that.
Gnarly.
Gnarliest trick.
Yeah.
Gnarliest trick. So snowboarding's, like, built up, like a lot of things, was built up of many different parts and pieces and layers. Where do you think you fit in to, like, what are you doing for snowboarding in your mind right now?
What am I doing for snowboarding?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just doing my thing, I guess. And if people like it, that's cool. If people don't like it, that's cool. I'm just riding snowboard.
Do you ever think of, like, you're inspiring people to try different stuff?
Both yes and no.
I mean, obviously you love snowboarding for doing it for yourself. You do it by yourself.
Yeah.
So you love the act of just doing it. Like, you would do it probably regardless if you were in the X Games or not.
Yeah, 100%. It's just, like, I like filming clips and putting it up on Instagram and other types of social media.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the instant reward? You filmed a sick trick, like a sick line. Are you instantly like, oh my God, I can't wait to put this up?
Yeah.
And then when you see, like, all the likes and comments, just like, yes.
Yeah, it gives you a good feeling, mm-hmm. especially when people like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yeah, you get hyped, you want to do it more. And yeah, I guess that's where the inspiration is coming in as well. People like what you're doing and they want to try to do the same. It's like, it's such a big difference between posting, a backside 16 mm-hmm. on the gram. Like, there's quite a few people that can relate to a backside 16. But then you have the knuckle tricks or the carves or the side hits. There's so many more people that can relate. And that's where I guess the inspiration for people are coming in, because mm-hmm. they can do the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you do an amazing job at connecting, like, this progression, competitive side of snowboarding to the real world of snowboarding and staying, like, in touch with regular people. Like, check it out. This is sick, too.
Yeah.
Just a front flip back three off the side hit.
No, I'm just, love having fun. Snowboarding is sick.
Well, I think you're also, like, you and also Dusty Henderson.
Yeah.
You guys are very good at, just keeping, like, the progression contest world connected to the, like, the original way of snowboarding at the same time, like, in a fun way.
Yeah, Dusty is sick as well.
Yeah.
He's good.
Do you think when you're done with competitive snowboarding, or when you become not good enough to do well anymore, basically what that means, are you going to keep snowboarding? Are you going to keep filming for the gram?
I'm definitely going to keep snowboarding for as long as I can. Even though probably have, like, 5 or 6 years left with the competing. Still gonna snowboard after. I mean, how sick would it be to be like 80 years old and snowboard and fucking send it?
That's so sick.
I'd be so sick. So yeah, I'll be snowboarding for freaking as long as I can. Even though it's not gonna be a competition, it's gonna be, just out cruising. Might still try to push myself for 30 years more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
250. He could, and whatever. Terry, Brian Gucci, all those dudes are snowboarding. Yeah. Sick.
Yeah.
Is it weird to think, when you say that now, like, I probably have like 4 or 5 more years of competitive snowboarding left?
Yeah.
Is that a weird thing now in your head?
It's fucking weird.
Is it sad?
Yeah, it is sad. Because, like, I always felt so young, like, in the snowboarding world.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm not really that young anymore.
How old are you?
I turn 24 tomorrow. I am not young. And that sucks.
It does suck. You are not young. Yeah, that you definitely are at a spot now where, like, there are other people going to be coming.
Yeah, 100%.
Who's your favorite up-and-coming dude that you see? Not favorite, but just, like, someone you think that has, like, oh, this dude is going to be insane.
Good question. Really good question. Like, there's, of course, a couple Japanese riders that are pretty insane, like Hiroto, Taiga. They're always sending it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're pretty good.
Is there anything you're bummed on in snowboarding? Or, like, what's the worst part of snowboarding for you?
Bad weather. Fucking hate bad weather. That's the only thing that I'm bummed at.
How often does that happen in Dumbos?
Pretty often. But it's like, it's not really bad weather either. Wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wind is the worst.
Yeah.
Because
I love snowboarding, especially back home. It's so fun to snowboard at nighttime mm-hmm. when it's snowing. And we have really good lights and it's good.
Wind. So,
not really bad weather, just wind.
How do you get motivated? Let's say, it's like you're in Dumbos or anywhere, you're here. You're in Dumbos, it's like bad weather. It's crappy outside. Yeah. But you can still go out and snowboard.
Yeah.
How do you get motivated to do that on days that are, like, crappy?
How do I get motivated? I either put on, like, a snowboarding edit or listen to music and try to be hyped. But as soon as you go out and it's working, then it's fine.
Because you still get inspired by other people snowboarding. Yeah. You watch edits and stuff like that.
Yeah. I watch edits all the time.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Like YouTube, like short edits or snowboard movies?
It's more short edits nowadays. Mm-hmm. Just like you sit by the breakfast spot or eating breakfast, have your MacBook. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah. Whatever edit.
You watch snowboarding to get hyped to go snowboarding.
Yeah. Watch snowboarding all the time.
Do you ever do one run things in Domos where you're like, I'm going to go snowboarding, you go up and have one run, you go home?
Yeah, I do.
Like a lot?
If it's super bad, yes. Because like there's a lot of days that are super bad. So yeah, there's, I think I've done that probably like 5 times in the last year.
Yeah, go up. This is going to be so, I'm going to go.
Yeah, and you're so pumped. Like you have a new board, just like, yeah, this is going to be sick. And then you head up there and it's just pure ice. You're like, nah. Might as well go home and play.
But you're lucky you can do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like crazy progression in snowboarding.
Yes.
In the contest scene. Especially, I think, within the women's scene the last like three or four years now. I personally like watching the women's snowboarding contest now over the men's.
Yeah, me too.
You do?
Yeah, 100%. Because like now there's... Because a lot of the girls, well, have been practicing on the airbag, and I think it's given them confidence to actually try and do more on snowboarding. Mm-hmm. It opened way more doors for people, which is a good thing. So yeah, nowadays it's sick to watch the women snowboard. They're almost at our level, to be honest. Like they're throwing triples, 12s, 14s. Definitely 12s.
Yeah. And 14s.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sick. It's inspiring, for sure.
Do you think it'll ever even out? Like, the adventure even out to the same level?
That's a hard question.
I don't know.
But it's like the scale of their progression in the last 3 years have been way higher than our scale. So if they keep on doing that with their snowboarding, they will definitely be... close to us.
Who's your favorite girl snowboarder?
Haley's got sick style, for sure. Zoe's insane. It's like when you watch Zoe ride, it's kind of like watching a man ride. It's like everything is so perfect, and the axis, the takeoff, everything is like perfect. Basically.
I think it's sick too, because they're doing it now with such sick style, and there's so many that are so good.
Yeah.
That it's inspiring so many more to start snowboarding and seeing that they could do it. Like when you were snowboarding, who was your biggest inspiration for getting into like learning tricks and I want to do this, I want to do good in contests?
It's like I loved That's It, That's All, Travis Rice. Just like everything about that movie was fucking sick. And that was like one of the main hero movies that I had growing up. And also Thorstein. I remember watching Style Wars. Just like the big ass jump. And pretty much everybody growing up that was in the competition scene has been a huge part of everything.
But what's different then until now is all those things, there's no girls in any of those.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's like there's girls who are doing sick stuff in the contest and also girl movies, and they're like in the movies.
Yeah.
So now there's so many more girls that can watch this and be like, oh, I'm like them.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah, the girls have been freaking crushing it for the last 5 years.
Do you consider snowboarding a lifestyle or a culture or a sport? I'm for here, it's for sure sport. Look at you.
For me?
Yeah.
I definitely don't look at snowboarding as like a job. It's like I look at snowboarding as a hobby. I don't know. It is a sport. Action sport? I don't know.
That's when you know you're, like, really good when you look at, like, the high. This would be like Michael Jordan being like, do you think basketball is, like, a sport? It's kind of more like a hobby for me. That's when you know you're pretty good.
No, but it's like, I started off with snowboarding for a reason. That was because it was fun.
Yeah.
And because it was a hobby. And I still have that fire to say that it's a hobby. That's... And I have been lucky enough to get this as my job. Even though I don't really look at it as a job. It's just, yeah, a hobby, which turned into something good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go back to the pressure thing. Do you feel a lot of pressure from your hobby? Because, like, people want a lot from you, probably all the time, at certain points of the year, when the Olympics are coming up, when X Games is happening, World Championships are happening. People want to get time and... like Marcus face, like the national news, stuff like that.
I definitely feel like it turns more into a job when there's a big contest coming up, mm-hmm. like the Olympics. Because mm-hmm. then there's more, yeah, more talk. People want to have stuff. People want to do stuff. Yeah, then there's more job. But as long as you can snowboard, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. Everything else you can, yeah.
Handle.
It's okay.
Do you feel like that's a good, like, it's important for you to participate in these things?
Yeah,
100%. To promote snowboarding?
Yeah. It's like, it's a part of the, like, you can't be on that level of snowboarding without having to do those type of things. It's just a part of the game. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Just got to do it.
How come there's not more snowboarders in Dombos?
Good question.
Like, what would you tell some of those skiers in Dombos, the kids, why they should snowboard? Why should people start snowboarding?
I don't know. I can't really go around and tell people to, like, you fucking have to snowboard. It's like, they started off skiing and they probably just love skiing. And it's like, whenever you learn something, it's not really that easy to go and learn something else, like, right away, mm-hmm. like with skiing and snowboarding. And they probably just learn skiing and stick with skiing. And, like, all the kids there that are skiing are pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, they're sending it. It's, like, kids like this that mm-hmm. jumps, like, the biggest jumps. And, yeah, it's sick to see even though they're not snowboarding. I have huge respect for skiers. Because, mm-hmm. like, yeah, I grew up with skiers. I ski a little bit myself. And, yeah, we're all there for one reason, and that is to do our hobby.
But if like I'm gonna have a kid and the kid is growing up and they say she's like 5, what would you tell her to start snowboarding? Why should she choose snowboarding over skiing? What would you tell her?
What would I tell them?
Well, you have like a niece, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you tell your niece to convince her to start snowboarding?
Just
doesn't have to be not compared to skiing, but just why should she start snowboarding?
Just the freedom. Or you can't really tell a kid that snowboarding is freedom either. It's like they don't even know what freedom is. But just tell them that it's sick. Like, you're strapped to one piece of wood, and it's just like you gotta figure out how to do it. But once you learn how to do it, it's the most fun that you can ever do.
Thank you all for listening. See you in the next episode. And in the meantime, do yourself a favor. Go snowboarding.